Hello, welcome to another episode of Simply Save podcast. Stock markets have been quite volatile, and who better than a fund manager to help us make sense of the sharp market swings that we have been seeing lately. Today I'm joined by Sridhar Bandwaldar, who manages more than Rs 33,000 crore worth of equity investments as head of equities at the Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. So welcome Sridhar, welcome to our show. Hope you have been doing well, even though markets have not been so kind, but I hope all well at your end.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, start off with, off late we have been seeing quite a bit of volatility in the market, and even in the past we have seen, but what has changed now is that crude oil prices have also started to rise. And, you know, some of our readers have also, asked this question that, Is it something that they should use to their advantage, maybe in terms of a tactical allocation, maybe look at the companies or stocks that have benefited or sectors that are benefiting from the rising prices, or rather they should just stick to a diversified equity fund? What would be your suggestion on this?
So first of all, let us step back and see why this volatility has come in, because we were in an environment till probably October for almost 16 months, which seemed like a Six Sigma event of COVID, but because of the extreme monetary and fiscal policies globally, we were in a benign liquidity environment. And actually, we came out of COVID quite fast. The vaccination happened quite fast. To that extent, there were sectors and countries, including India, which was beneficiary on both earnings side as well as the flow side. That is clearly was naturally going to change or moderate as you are going to go through calendar year 22. What was supposed to happen was that these monetary policies and the fiscal policies moderate. So your export environment, your earnings, your liquidity environment moderates. What has created this volatility additionally is clearly not those aspects which were anyways going to happen. Those aspects would have meant that you go into a consolidation zone, which was our call for last 6 months, that we'll go in a consolidation zone because our valuations are higher. So we'll go through price of time correction. What is incremental volatility been caused by? Because of the energy prices as an outcome of this war between Ukraine and Russia. Clearly, this is not a very happy situation to be in for India, particularly given the amount of energy imports that we do. So what typically happens is India as a country can tolerate up to $80-$90 of oil prices. Beyond that, it starts hurting all two, three buckets. One, it starts hurting government finances. Second, it starts hurting the inflation and the currency. Third, it starts hurting the demand and the operating margin profile of the companies, corporates themselves. So it starts hurting in different buckets to you. And that's where market has actually experienced a significant amount of volatility lately. Now, how do people take benefit of it? So my answer is very standard for this question. I've been in market for 16 years. There will always be events which you did not anticipate. Uncertainty will always be there. In fact, typically, in an uncertain period, you get a lot of businesses at a valuation which otherwise you will not get them. A lot of sectors which have corrected lately, a lot of companies which have corrected lately, or portfolios which have corrected lately. And to that extent, this uncertainty, the answer that one should try to find is this uncertainty going to be for 3-6 months, or is this uncertainty is going to last for 3 years? If you know that this is an event which will also fade, correct? If COVID faded in 1.5 years period, which was a almost once in a 100-year event, I think this war, unless until it escalates into World War III, is an event which is going to fade in memory in 6 months' time. Does it have its own implications for India? And that too, partly negative implications? Yes, through energy price channel. Should we extrapolate this event to next year, next to next year? I don't think that is how one should behave as an investor. One should behave as an asset allocator, given that this event is also going to be passed, and any market valuation or company's valuation is a discounted cash flows of large, many numbers of cash flows in future, probably 10 years, 20 years, 30 years cash flows of. So if 1 year cash flows have been impacted, of course, people are actually disproportionately reacting in short term sometimes. And one should take benefit of it. Now, should people actually focus on direct equities or sectors? Not because I'm a fund manager, but typically my advice always is that actually you go through mutual fund schemes, whichever you like, whichever funds you like. Because typically, if you're not spending time on research of individual companies or sectors, it is always better to actually go through advisors, which is your mutual fund schemes for you. You're paying fees for it, But nonetheless, those are the guys who do the research day in and day out. They have teams, they have bandwidth to do that kind of research. If you are not a financial professional doing research on daily basis, I would say typically one should avoid the direct stock exposures on a personal basis. It's like, this is my favorite example. It's like this. I don't know how to drive truck. I don't go and start driving truck one day, correct? So it's investing in direct equities is like that. People feel that it is easy, but over a period of time, at least anecdotal experiences with all our investors is that their returns are typically not great. Their returns don't beat indices also over a period of time. So why spend time there? I mean, spend your time on your own activity and allocate money in uncertain time to people who are doing research on daily basis and then benefit out of it over a period of time, and don't look at markets from a near-term perspective.
The bottom line is stick to a diversified equity fund, because even, you know, small case ETFs give you some kind of PSU oil ETF or something like that, but don't go into those
that's just a flavor of the day. That's just a flavor of the day. It is better to actually, when you are allocating assets for multi years, it is better to stick for any diversified portfolio,
right, and stay in for the long term.
At least 3-5 years, because otherwise, and you know it better than me, that people actually debate equities too much, but then when you ask them how much of your asset allocation is in equities, they'll say 3%. Then how does it matter? I mean, whether you are in stocks, diversified portfolio, even in a concentrated, because it will not make any difference in your wealth.
Correct.
So if you want to create a difference out of equities, one, you should have horizon. Second, you should have ability to allocate more during uncertain times like this.
Right. No, absolutely. I think that's a very good point. I also wanted to ask you, Canara Robeco has recently launched a value fund. So what is this fund all about? You know, how should investors approach this fund, and why should investors be looking at this fund at all, especially right now?
So we don't launch any product because it is relevant for next year or next to next year or 6 months. It just came as one of the product that we thought that investors should have exposure to also. Before that, we launched Focus. Before that, we launched Small Cap. And in future, our mid caps and multi caps will come in. So we don't try to time things. Why we have launched value as a category is because we thought that we have a differentiated value proposition. Same thing we did with Focus also. The reason is typically the value funds in market have been associated with cheap stocks. That's one of the character or one of the statistical parameter. Typically, that's on a ballpark basis. Not necessarily every stock has to be statistically cheap stock. How we look at value is all those businesses, okay, where, of course, your margin of safety to start with is relatively high. But at the same time, you are getting businesses where there are tangible, time-bound and discernible earnings driver in place.
Right.
Which means when I buy a stock, I should have some thesis in terms of timeline. I should have some thesis in terms of discernibility. And I should have some sense on tangibility of why the earnings are going to play out. Because ultimately, the stocks do well, or the business category does well if the earnings turn in that category or a sector or a stock.
Right.
If that is so, then I can't buy just something because it is statistically cheap. And that's what the differentiated value proposition is, that our focus is far more on intrinsic value and that intrinsic value getting unlocked in a tangible and time-bound manner.
Right.
Not ki aapne 10 PE ka stock khareeda ho, 10 PE hai 5 saal. That is not what we call as value investing. Value investing, we call value investing something that is intrinsic to business, but it is going to get unlocked over next 6, 8, 10 quarters. There has to be some timeline. There are certain names in PSU basket, okay, which have been perennially cheap.
Forever, yeah. There's forever. Some people may call them as value traps also.
Yeah. So with all due respect, actually, value as a category is a far difficult category to run because most of these businesses are challenged inherently.
Right.
So differentiating between value traps and intrinsic value in businesses, which is going to get unlocked, is not a very easy thing to do, at a very high scale in terms of number of crores. Like, for example, we are running 600 crores. Right. Once it becomes 6,000, 10,000 crores, I think it is a challenge because you also run reinvestment risk. Every time that it's not compounding. Once that value gets unlocked, you have to sell it and buy something else where that is going to play out. So, so that's how broadly we look at value. And that's where we said, okay, everybody else who's present in value is almost treating it like either contra or cheap.
Right.
Let us treat it as something like intrinsic value and something that is time bound. So that's how we look at it, and that's where we launch this product. But again, I mean, most of the products that we will launch or the existing products, I think any equity product investor should come with at least 3-year horizon, because the stock prices is a function of earnings, and earnings is a function of how the business and the management does, and it cannot happen overnight.
Right. Even maybe 3 years may be also a short time in some cases. I think 5 years would be something, especially
maybe
3 to 5 years.
Value. I mean, but minimum 3 years.
Right.
Because otherwise, although typically what happens is most of the investors, and this is a very critical, important point for investors. Investors typically come in a scheme or in a category when the category is doing best, and they go out when the category is doing badly. So their experience will never be even averages. Their experience will always be poor. So people have to focus on getting the same risk-adjusted experience or returns.
Right.
And for that, they have to sit through for 3 to 5 years.
True. Makes sense. Also, from investors' perspective, you know, how they can use value. I mean, would you suggest that they use it as a complementary strategic fund with, you know, another regular diversified fund? Because I think most diversified funds out there would be, you know, growth-focused and, you know, earning growth-focused kind of funds. So is that something that you would suggest for investors?
Yeah, it's a good complementary product for the base portfolio. Just like you have consumption portfolios as a thematic, or you have some of them, people have exports themes, or some of people have basically US themes. Right. I think it's a good, very good ancillary portfolio or support portfolio in the existing diversified basket, because it gives a in a way to portfolio gives a different kind of diversification. One is to own diversified portfolio, which is diversified businesses. And one is to own different style.
So if this
style doesn't work for 3 years, then you, if you have something which is contra to the existing diversified portfolio, then you actually get averages even in that period.
Sure. And what are, you know, some of the sectors that you think, you know, where there is still money to be made and, you know, investors can look at these kind of sectors?
See, money in India, particularly our experience is money is to be made in most of the sectors. It is your selection that matters over a period of time. But generally, from retail investors' perspective, how we are looking at the current scenario is, if this energy prices and if this war environment goes away in 6 months period, basically, domestic economy is opening up. Domestic corporate balance sheets are in extremely healthy shape. Domestic bank balance sheets are in extremely healthy shape. So be it housing, be it your banking, financials, be it your industrials, be it your consumer discretionary, part of auto value chain. These are the sectors where the earnings are likely to get upgraded, assuming this event which we are going through goes away for some time. And that is what our base case is. And that's how we are looking at that. Those are the places where we are looking at that there will be the earnings surprises, apart from the base portfolio, which is basically your IT and consumers and FMCG, which are steady businesses, pharma, which are steady businesses, which are part of portfolios anyways. But the kicker can come in from these segments if the earnings growth pans out and if the energy prices actually kind of normalize over the next 6 months.
Yeah, that does make sense. Also, you know, from traditional businesses and, you know, traditional sectors, I wanted to ask you, you know, now we have seen a lot of new asset classes coming in, you know, of course, the big elephant in the room is cryptocurrencies and, you know, also, you know, even some of the cryptocurrency platforms are also offering systematic investment plans to investors. So, you know, what is your sense of this, you know, completely newfound attraction and love for cryptocurrencies from obviously investors' point of view?
Frankly, I have very limited understanding and basically expertise. So people should take it with a pinch of salt. So please do read through the literature, take advice from people who are experts. But one basic fundamental issue that I have with this as asset class is, typically governments will never like a competing currency. Would government like that people are trading in a currency which they don't have any control over? Because then there is no sanctity, correct? 10 people can use some... It is turning system into barter system kind of environment where the central banks and governments loses all control. So fundamentally, I think using it as a currency, can it become digital currency approved by the regulators and they come under the regulatory channels? That can happen at some point in time. But they cannot replace the existing currency given what the government stand would be, because government would want to control. Otherwise, it will be chaos. So as a technology, blockchain technology is good. But if you ask me, as an asset class, every asset class should be backed by cash flows. So gold is the only asset class which is not backed by cash flows, but it has its own intrinsic value against all the currencies. Now, right. Tomorrow you are saying there are 10 different people who are launching 10 different currencies who are not backed by anybody and they have intrinsic value. I don't buy a lot into this thought process. So I have largely, and this is a personal comment, not my on behalf of my organization, right. Largely would stay away from these kind of things. Sure. Which are not backed by basically any cash flows fundamentally.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's why we wanted a fund manager's view on this whole subject and, you know, the importance of fundamentals. Thanks a lot.
Because ultimately, ultimately think about this. I mean, you feel that this 100 rupee note is 100 rupee because Government of India or RBI is writing on it that it has 100 rupee value, correct?
Yes, correct.
Tomorrow, if somebody, I come and tell you that, okay, take this paper as 100 rupee, will you take it? You will not take it. But
right.
Exactly the same thing people are doing with cryptocurrencies. I mean, they're saying this currency has a value. And I'm not saying it doesn't have technological value.
Right.
But I'm not so sure about how far the governments and central banks will let this run.
Sure.
So it runs a lot of risk. Like what happened with this budget, Government of India, the first stage is it has been taxed. In China, those people have gone even ahead. And in fact, they have kind of created a lot of more hurdles than just taxation of cryptocurrency. So people should be very careful about this as asset class.
Sure.
And kindly take advice, do read through literature as to what they are investing in.
Sure. Great. Great. Thanks a lot, Sridhar, for joining us today. I'm sure this interaction will help investors who are especially wondering what they should be doing with their money next. Thanks so much for joining us today. That was all the time we had for today's podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in and keep listening to Simply Save. For any feedback, do write into us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, log on to moneycontrol.com.